Blog Talk Radio. Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's oldpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Join us 7 p.m. on Mondays for Keeping It Brief, and then come back at 10 p.m. and sit in with Luyu as she digs into Front Page Picks. Tuesdays, join the Twisted Sisters on Twisted Tuesdays. Wednesday, Turn Up the Heat with the Art of Seduction. Thursdays are split between Inner Craft and Sullen Art with or Double Helix with Faziana Dan. Friday comes in my eyes with Open Poetry. Saturday is split with Gray Eyes and Dan Howling from the Northern Woods, bringing you Bad Company, and Exploring Ekphrasia with Captain B2 and Gray. If you're looking for a little more edgy around, then please check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m., Tuesday through Saturday mornings, and Take a Walk on the Wild Side Tuesday. Fridays are split between Break On Through with Pam and Echoes in the Darkness, and join Faziana and Babel on Saturdays as they teach you the fine art of becoming part sinner, part saint. Check out the contest of prompts for one of our shows, call them to read your poems, hang for the fun, and if you do recordings, please add those to your poems so we can listen to the word, your words being read by you. Good evening, Jean.
Well, good evening, Rex, and how are you tonight?
Good. What's the...
Not much. Just trying to keep my head awake, you know. No fog. But, yeah, it's a very interesting. Wow. Okay, I'm going to try it again. It's a very interesting group that you did for tonight. I'd never heard of them before, so, well, that's nothing unusual for me, but, you know, really found them intriguing as I was loading up the, all the songs. And just so you know, we have Pam on the line. Hi, Pam.
Hi, Jean. Hi, Rex.
Hey, what's up?
Oh, not much. Life is good. Looking forward to the music and poetry and hanging out with you two. And, yeah, everything is awesome. I feel old, though. My baby, the baby of my babies, is starting driver's ed tomorrow.
That's awesome. That's amazing, though. I totally know what you mean, though, because mine turned 30 this year, and I'm going, What is that? And I'm working on my grandson, and I'm going, Christ, he's 13. Next thing you know, he'll be taking driver's ed, so I totally get it. It's amazing how that happens.
But one good thing about it is if their sibling gets them a car or a used car truck, then I will have two children who live near me that drive and can give me rides to the store. So
that's pretty awesome.
Bonus for mom.
There you go. There you go. I like it. Good for you, Pam. Good for you. That's pretty neat. Oh, so Rex, tell us about this group you chose for tonight.
Actually, I didn't choose it. Pam did, so.
Oh, there you go.
It's hers.
Nice.
One of her perfect. So come on, Pam, enlighten us.
Okay. So Tonic Lemon Parade. Tonic was a band, American band, that was considered alternative rock, post-grunge, that was formed in 1993, but it wasn't until July 16th, 1996, that their first album, Lemon Parade, which is the album we're covering, was released. It was, up to date, it has sold 1,300,000 copies, reached platinum status in the United States. However, upon its release, it was met with mixed reviews. Music critic Sean M. Haney said of it, "The record as a whole is full of the heavy, distortion-laden Tonic sound, and guitars that make them who they are. Although the recordings are murky at times, like shoes splashing through muddy puddles of water, the record highlights, such as the uplifting acoustic track Mountain and the rawness of Wicked Soldier, are still full of rich musical creativity. The band's name was actually originally going to be Radio Flyer, but that was already taken. And so I don't know why exactly they went with Tonic, but hey, it works. But I have to say thank you to Rex for doing this show. I was so excited because what happened is I actually years ago, obviously back years ago, like probably around 97 or so, 96, 97, I had this CD. And of course, with all the moves and stuff, I had lost it. And just, oh gosh, I think two or three weeks back, I happened to be at a secondhand store and I found it for $1. And I was like, I picked it up and I was playing it over and over again. And I texted Rex and I'm like, you should consider this for a future show. I absolutely love this album. It's one of my all-time favorites. And I would love to see what kind of poetry comes from it. So I'm very excited and I'm very thankful to Rex. And I hope I provided enough information there. I don't know if Rex wants to add anything.
No, you hit everything. They were hard touring for the first couple of years. Then they put out the second and then the third album quickly after that. So they're still rolling around.
They are. They had a bit of a hiatus in the early, like, mid-2000s, but they are still rolling around.
Right. Very neat. Very neat. Okay, well, that sounds like an interesting background on them, absolutely. Okay, well, are we ready? Because if we're ready,
sure.
I got a song. Okay, the first song up for tonight is called Open Up Your Eyes. right.
Oh.
It's a good joke. Well, I liked it. And the first piece I'm going to put up for this one is by Betty Page called Shards of Glass. And I have an audio for this. So give me 2 seconds to hit the button. The button. There it is.
Shards of glass. I'm floating in glass, aquamarine, serene waves, drifting as blood drips, gazing up at skies. Finally, I feel no pain. Watch myself below. I'm above, so high, refuse to come down this time, ready to just sleep. Let's say our goodbyes, rip my heart out, holding blades, cut words, I'm numb. You think I'll succumb, false memories or real ones, a bit of both, right? Close my eyes to pain, keep sawing blades back and forth, till I feel no worth. Only in his eyes, one mere glimmer of rainbows. One last glance of hope. Yet, will he love me? I just feel that he loves me. Shards of glass pierce fierce. My eyes are on him. Don't want to be his burden. That's not who I am. Yet, what I've become. Drowning in circumstances, pure suffocation, chilled by icy waves, alcohol thrown in my face, insults are constant, mocked, teased, relentless by everyone I've loved most. Now to them, I'm ghost, severed veins of love. As my veins slowly drip dry, gazing up at skies, I'm floating in glass, aquamarine, serene waves, drifting as blood drips, gazing up at skies. Finally, I feel no pain. Watch myself below. I'm above, so high. Refuse to come down now this time. Ready to just sleep. Let's say our goodbyes. My heart out. Holding blades. Cut. With words. I'm numb. You think I'll succumb? False memories or real ones? A bit of both, right? Close my eyes to pain. Keep sawing blades back and forth till I feel no worth. End poem.
Great read, Betty. Thank you for the sound poem. Very much appreciated. Bam. Come on down.
All right. Well, wow. I have to say there's something I think in that read, especially when her voice catches in the part about don't want to be a burden to him, that just sent chills up and down my spine and made my heart beat faster. It just, you know, there's between the darkness and the emotional impact of the right, the painfulness of the idea of a woman who feels so unloved, so abused, that she's trying to escape this life, to become numb to the suffering going on around her. And the way that Betty read this, it just really hit hard. And there were brilliant lines all the way through. But some of the parts that really stood out to me are, you think I'll succumb, false memories or real ones, a bit of both, right? And the false memories are real or real ones really make me think of the idea of somebody being gaslighted. And then only in his eyes, one mere glimmer of rainbows, one last glance of hope. You know, that idea of staying in a relationship, even though you're mocked, even though you're abused, because you see that hope until you realize it's no longer there. And then, you know, the pain of it all just comes crashing down. It's definitely an intense write, beautiful take on the prompt, and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, Pam. Gene, how about you?
Yes, what Pam said, times two. I thought there was wonderful imagery throughout this poem. I thought the emotions were well expressed, a wonderful conveyance of thought here. And yeah, Pam, I'm with you. When her voice broke, it was like, it just hurt. I thought it was a good take on the prompt. And I went with severed veins of love as my veins slowly drip dry, gazing up at the skies. I'm floating in glass, aquamarine, serene waves drifting as blood drips. Gazing up at skies, finally I feel no pain. Watch myself below. I'm above so high, refuse to come down this time, ready to just sleep. Let's say our goodbyes, rip my heart out, holding blades, cut with words, I'm numb. It was a very painful write. It really was, and it there was so much depth in the lines, I thought, that I think Betty did an excellent job. So thank you so much, Betty. And hey, thanks for that SoundCloud, or audio, I should say. Great job.
You can, this is dark. You can read it straight face, the way it comes at you, or I'll look at it for the metaphor it offers, that opening stanza and its repeat. I'm floating in glass, aquamarine, serene waves, drifting as blood drips. That brings to mind those days when they did the big rave parties for new alcohol, and you'd have this 20-foot glass, martini glass, filled with liquor, and blondes or brunettes, pretty women, just to sell the booze, and they got ice booze dripping into it because they're running it through a bunch of ice sculptures. Anyway, that's what I see, and then that note rolling into the second stanza, gazing up at skies, finally I feel no pain, watch myself below. A double dip, both looking up from that glass and then looking back down into your eyes within that glass. And then I'm above so high, don't want to come down this time, ready to go to sleep. The purchase walks the way of just had enough and got to let it go. The metaphor works well with the thought of the blood spill, the shattered glass, the note, the image of self and self-worth that works within this piece. So it's a dark piece there, Benny. Nice piece.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. So, Rex, the next piece I'm going to put up for you is called Eyes So Blind by Myriad Dark.
All right. Eyes So Blind by Myriad Dark. Eyes so blind of a certain kind, they'll never tell you all the things you want to hear. They're only empty echoes as they bounce around, then disappear. Those eyes so blind leave you behind. Such are those eyes so blind. Better to float away in the dark. Most would play no part. It couldn't be more clear. What's the point, you may ask, before they take you to task and leave you bleeding from the ears? And those eyes so blind find you in their fears. With their eyes so blind, nothing could be more clear. Too many eyes to blind, too many questions unasked. Too many eyes so blind, and innocent people taken to task. Too many eyes so blind, with too many questions. When those who know don't ask, there are none so blind of a certain type. And are always left behind with eyes So Blind. And Paul. All right, Jean.
Yeah. Well, quite the opposite of the title of the song, for sure. You know, open up your eyes. Come on now, everybody. You know, you're all too blind. Too many blind people out there. Open up your eyes and see what's going on. That's what I'm getting from the piece. And I thought it was very well done. The reputation. Oh, my God. The repetition of, you know, too many eyes so blind. Too many eyes so blind. You know, throughout the whole piece, just kind of keeps pointing out, like, all these things that everybody's missing, you know, not seeing. Most would play no part. It couldn't be more clear. What's the point, you may ask, before they take you to task and leave you bleeding from the ears and those eyes so blind bind you in their fears. You know, I don't know. I think it was really well done. I like Myriad Dark's work, and I think he's very always has a clever spin on things, and this is no exception. I think it was just well done and, you know, a nice take on that prompt. So go for it, man. Go for it. Yes. Nice job.
All
thanks
right.
For sharing.
Thank you. Pam, what about you?
Yeah, what Gene said, times two.
Never. You're going to lose all your credibility if you do that to me.
No, I really liked it, and I do have to agree.
Round and round, round and round.
Oh,
I hear a bus coming. It's rolling down the tracks.
Yeah, right.
It's
right.
Over, leaving them on your backs.
Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, I thought this was great. I did enjoy the rhyme and the use of repetition, which I felt really drove the point home. Wonderful take on the prompt. You know, I like how the powerful lines spoke on those blind to the truth. And it all stood out to me. But what I particularly like is where it says, too many eyes are blind with too many questions, and also where it says an innocent people taken to task. I feel like I like that it says too many questions or questions not unasked, because you know, that's how we learn. That's where how we learn to think for ourselves, is by asking questions. And when we choose not to ask questions, or we do choose to ask questions, but we choose to accept the obvious lies, then we are put to work building a world that we didn't want to build. You know, just an amazing take and very well done.
Nice. Thank you, ladies. Yeah, I got to go that way, too. The idea of the singularity is the thing. And you sit there and keep listening and listening and listening. And as he says, you'll leave you bleeding from the ears, because it's all diatribe. But it's also painting that idea that you're blind to reality because you're not paying attention. And the fact that you leave too many questions unasked. So you can roll that into us societally, or you can walk that into the fourth estate, which is no longer a fourth estate. It's just a media apparatus for the three-letter agency. The idea is, when you don't ask questions, there's no pressure exerted, and that leaves you blind. And you keep following the blind, you end up worse off down the road, because nothing quite like having the blind lead the blind walking over that cliff of doom.
Amen.
Thank you, Myriad.
Absolutely.
Lemmings, I tell you.
Let me get out my flute. Yeah, I'll be blind and playing the flute, just like the Pied Piper. Don't mind me. I'm just goofy today. Okay. The next poem I'm going to put up is called Message to My Mind by Shelley A. B. I'm going to give that one a read. And it says, can I count on you to help me see it through, to help me find a way to make it through each day? to fight the battles inside, to act rather than hide, to stand against the hate, to stand up to debate. Will you empower me or abuse? Will you strengthen me or use? And will I allow this to be, or will I allow myself to see? To see I have a purpose, have value, do not deserve this, in whatever that may be, however you may see me. I know I have a choice. In my own mind, I have a voice. In two minds, I am the voice. I can make the choice now. End poem.
Great read, Jean. Thank you very much. Pam, what do you think?
Well, I have to say this is a pretty new name to me, Shelley A.B. So I'm looking forward to reading more of her, and I do hope that she's inspired for other shows. I like the title, Message to My Mind, and how it's like the whole poem is a conversation to herself, and, you know, like, one side of her is basically not telling her she doesn't have value, and the other side, and that's the side that's mainly speaking, is saying, listen, I have to move on. To me, this is a write on personal growth. It could also be about talking to another person, because, you know, you can be in a friendship or a relationship and say, listen, I have to move on. I have to do this for myself, for my personal growth. And if you can't be there with me, you know, and be supporting me, then, you know, we have to separate, you know. And of course, I don't mean for every little thing, but, you know, when it comes to major issues, you know, and I really like, will you empower me or abuse me? Will you strengthen me or use? And will I allow this to be, or will I allow myself to see? And, you know, the fact that she does use the title Message to My Mind really makes me think that this is her talking to the more negative side of herself and saying, you know, that her own mind needs to start giving herself more positive messages. So amazing right and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. All right, Jean, you got to read it. How about you?
Well, you know, excuse me. I thought this was a great write and a nice take on the prompt. And sometimes we all need to take a stand, whether it's with ourselves or with another person. Sometimes we just need to pick a direction and stick with it. You know, sometimes you got to say, no, I'm not going to take this anymore. Or no, you're not going to give this to me anymore. And I think that either way, Pam, I think, you know, there's validity there. I thought it was nicely penned. The questions at the beginning, I was like, okay, can I count on you to help me see it through? To help me find a way to make it through each day. You know, I don't know. Sometimes, you know, like I said, you just have to get through it, you know, and sometimes you have to say, no, this is the way I'm going to do it. And I thought it was just really well done and clever. And Pam, Shelley A.B. was with us a long time ago, but has been on a hiatus.
Oh, yeah.
Because I got a message from her. Yeah, it's been a long time.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong. She sent me a message. It's the reason I know. She said, you know, I've been away for a while, and it's good to be back. So that's the only reason
wonderful.
Yeah. I half recognize the name. As I say, it's been a long time. So, yeah, I think it's just a wonderful, wonderful take on the prompt. And thanks for sharing, Shelley, and hope to see more of your work soon. Absolutely.
Nice. Thank you, Lee. All right. It's, well, it is a conversation with one's own mind, but I'm also looking at the thought that she'd be doing this in front of a mirror, so you can actually face the you you're arguing with. It's a note between the two hemispheres of the brain, one that deals with logic and one that deals with emotion and the conflicts that arise between the two. And she hits on that idea to fight the balance inside that brain. Oh, I mean, no. Will you empower me or abuse? Will you strengthen me or use? And will I allow this to be, or will I allow myself to see? So the idea, you face yourself doing this in the mirror, you're kind of taking a deeper look, not just within the argumentative phase between the two halves of your brain, but you're forcing yourself to take a look while you're at it, having that conversation going. And you can draw strength from that, knowing, hey, you know what, I can do this, I can go a little bit further. So, nice, Shelley. Thank you very much.
Nice. Okay. And the next poem, and the last one for this prompt, is called Whispers of Liberation by Zulfikar Hamdam Awan. At Pam, I have you read this one.
All right. In the realm of stones, heavy and cold, a burden chosen, a story untold. Where I stand, hollow sounds abound, people's voices, a relentless surround. Be quiet, they say, they'll fade away. Yet in this silence, shadows play. Open up your eyes, defy the story spun. Don't let the mind dictate, let freedom be won. Safe it feels, floating in the glass, above troubles passing, a fleeting reprieve, alas. Yet the plea echoes, but just let me go in the glass cocoon where troubles don't show. Open up your eyes to a world anew, beyond the judgment the voices undo. Let the mind unshackle, release the tether, in the quiet rebellion find solace and gather. Through the weight of stones strive to arise, a phoenix emergent against the compromise. Open up your eyes to the untold decree, a narrative rewritten, a spirit set free. In the dance of silence, let liberation flow. As you whisper to the wind, just let me go. No more echoes, no more borrowed sighs, in the canvas of freedom, where the soul truly lies. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, what do you think?
Well, you know, I don't know. Here we go. Let me think as I go along here. I thought that this was a great take on the prompt. I really did, and I thought the imagery was wonderful throughout. And I grabbed these two, and of course I grabbed the line that says, open up your eyes to a world anew. Beyond the judgments, the voices undo. Let the mind unshackle, release the tether. In the quiet rebellion, find solace and gather. Through the weight of stones, strive to rise, a phoenix emerging against the compromise. Open up your eyes to the untold decree, a narrative rewritten, a spirit set free. They were great lines, and I really think that this is very well done and very well expressed. You know, I think that Zulfikar, I don't know if I'm saying that right, did a fine job with this piece and did, you know, touch on the prompt very, very well. So thank you so much for sharing with us. Great job.
Mm-hmm. All right, Pam, you got to read it. How about you?
Yeah, this is a wonderful rhyming poem. I really, really like how he talks about the freedom of the soul and, you know, finding that freedom by being true to yourself. I really like where he says, yet the plea echoes, just let me go in the glass cocoon where troubles don't show. I felt like the glass cocoon was perhaps a metaphor for like the bottle of alcohol. But I like where he speaks on the stones. Through the weight of stones, strive to rise, a phoenix emerging against the compromise. Open up your eyes to the untold decree, a narrative rewritten, a spirit set free. In other words, you can rewrite your own narrative. It is your story. You can take control of it, rise out of the ashes, and set your spirit free. And I like how he speaks in the weight of the stones, as if the stones were thrown by other people who passed judgment, you know, and so great write and very well done.
Nice.
Yeah. I took that line in the glass cocoon where troubles don't show as that note to wrapping yourself in yourself for safety's sake. But then he does turn it around and offers up that note to metamorphosis with open up your eyes to a world anew. Beyond the judgment, the voice undo. Let the mind unshackle, release the tether. in a quiet rebellion, find solace and gather. The idea of letting baggage go, if it holds no weight on you personally, then it's got nothing to do with anything itself. And that's the idea with the stones. If you unload those stones, you've got the millstones around your neck, then you find yourself a lot lighter. And it's easier to do other things that raise yourself up a bit more. So thank you, Z. I enjoyed that. All right, Jean, we're coming up back with you.
Okie doke. This next song I'm going to play is called Soldier's Daughter. And here we go.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The first poem I have to go with this is by Jaskaran, and it's called The Piercing Sensation. So here we go. And let me hit the button for the audio.
Do not be a victim of domestic violence, but a beacon of hope for everyone. The Piercing Sensation. As haunted on the streets on moonlit night, a proceed of a woman letting their head down, tresses fluttering in the breeze, against cloudy sky, traveling in the thickening raindrops, causing trembling vision at the end of her, the same as a dew, fluttering with kid wings, bruises burning and thrall of my husband's incessant fits. Like heat from her fears, the child in fire, singing a steady waterfall on a roof. I was submerged in their intoxicating voice, bodily leaves dancing bobbing on the lake, tranquility ringing in the sea, putting the fishes in a cesta. In the sensitive air, melodiously rocking, I wrote poem for the stars, and auto things thereby getting a child to sleep, a lying sweetest memory. We are what it is, broken her chains, it autocity, feel free to be happy. Strong men bear pain, that they do to the truth. No matter how much it hurts, all you see is the beauty of it. Thank you.
Great read, Jaskaran. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It's very much appreciated. Pam, come on in.
Yes. Wow. You know, I always appreciate and enjoy Jaskaran's poetry. It's so intelligent. Amazing imagery and metaphors. This one's a particularly emotive and powerful write because of some of its more direct lines, and how he speaks in the voice of a woman who is physically and emotionally abused. The same as I do, fluttering with clipped wings, bruises burning on assaults of my husband's incessant fists like heat from a thousand flares, my child's beaming smile ceasing a steady waterfall from the globe. I was submerged in their intoxicating voice, water lily leaves dancing, bobbing on the lake, tranquility reigning in the sea, putting the fishes in a siesta. And I like how he speaks in that voice, as I was saying, of a woman who's looking at these other women, who's looking at they're trying to gain this sense of freedom with the wings that have been broken over and over again, and wanting that for herself. Beautifully written and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you? But you got to unmute her.
You always want more. But I'll tell you what, I unmuted just in time to say hello to Naomi. Hey, Naomi, how are you?
Hey, hello, guys. Oh, hello, Rick. Hi, Pam. Hey, Pam is there, right? Yeah?
Yep.
Yes.
I am. Hello, Pam. Hi, Phil. Yeah, we're really getting it here. Oh, my gracious. You know, the snow is just coming down and piling up. Oh, it's like it's crazy out. Oh, yeah. Shoveling tomorrow. Oh, boy. And it's that kind of snow, you know, that's half rain, you know, that's really, really heavy.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you just make sure to keep that to yourself and don't send it. Do not send it in my direction. I repeat, do not send the snow to Thompson.
Well, I thought it was you guys that sent it to us. Just love. Don't you guys make snow there where you live, Phil?
We do, but honest to goodness, like right now we usually have like a few inches. We've got pretty much, it looks like, you know, like basically the beginning of spring. Most of the
yard
is green grass. It's crazy. It's actually quite unnatural. And while I appreciate it, it's actually not really good for this area because we have a lot of tourist stuff that actually happens in winter that requires.
Okay.
But.
Absolutely.
Oh, boy, but we're really getting it. My candles are lit, so. You know, if I lose electricity, I don't know what it's going to do if my, you know, to my computer and everything. So if you lose me, well, you'll know it's because, you know, electricity went on us because it's been flickering on and off all evening. But, you know.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Always something, I'll tell you. Well, Naomi, I'm going to start with you by saying, did you happen to hear Jaskaran's poem?
No, not at all. I'm so sorry.
Okay. That's fine. I just wanted
to
ask.
Yeah.
I thought that Jaskaran's poem was incredibly imagery, well stated, and I thought he spoke well on the subject. It kind of took me back a second when I realized he was speaking in a woman's voice at one point. I went, okay, this is unusual. Not what I'm accustomed to seeing from Jaskaran. But I have to say, you know, these stanzas here. In this empty chair, memories are still rocking. I write poem for the stars, an out of sync lullaby, cradling my child to sleep, my life's sweetest embrace. Where what we choose, broken from the chains, rid of the toxicity, feel free to be happy. Strong women wear their pain like they do stilettos. No matter how much it hurts, all you see is the beauty of it. Because, you know, and I believe in that because, you know, what we choose broken from the change, you know, sometimes you just have to make that choice and walk away and be done. Just be done. Make that whole commitment to yourself. And then, you know, stilettos, yeah, they look good. They hurt like hell. Yes, once I did wear them many moons ago. Yeah, I'm just too old for that silly stuff. But, you know, no matter how it feels to you, you know, people only see what's on the outside and see how you carry yourself. So I think that Jess Green did a great job with this. And thank you, as always, for sharing. Excellent.
Absolutely. Yeah, he did this in two parts, that upper part leading to the at the end of the third and then rolling into the same as I do. That there's a transformation, that note of seeing them while sauntering on the street one moonlit night, seeing the women being at ease in the moment reminds her of hey, that's where she should be, so to speak. And then he hits on that note of, in this empty chair, memory's still rocking, I write poems for the stars, and out of sync lullaby, craving my child to sleep, my life's sweetest embrace. So, there is a difference in that note, especially where he finishes off with the where the pain and stiletto, like stilettos. I guess that's about it. I lost my train of thought. Damn.
Woo, woo.
Yeah.
That's derailed.
Oh, no, that's me. I'm derailed. His just rolled past. Okay. Well, let me see now. I'm going to switch this up a little bit. Naomi, I'm going to ask you to read the next one. And this is called This Daughter's Choice by Imarima. So here
okay.
it goes.
Hey.
Whenever you're ready.
Yep. Mm-hmm. The daughter's choice. A little girl, you said I'd be. Starting over. This daughter's choice. A little girl, you said I'd be. And concerned there be the circumstance. Maybe my daddy did hurt me. You wondered while we two did dance. Because daddy is a soldier and lives life serving from war to war. A life you did not understand, so fused about me more and more, that daddy's views have poisoned how sweet little me feels on my own. I told you to get lost and now feel better that I dance alone. I am a soldier's daughter, true, and now I am a soldier too. End poem.
Great read there, Naomi. Thank you very much. All right, Jean. This is right up your alley.
I don't know if it is. I'm trying to piece it, get my head on it, wrap it around, you know. A little girl, you said I'd be. Concerned there be the circumstance. Maybe my daddy did hurt me. You wondered why we two did dance. Because daddy is a soldier and lives life serving from war to war. A life you did not understand, so fussed about me more and more. I don't know, you know, because part of this is reading to me as a negative, and the other part is coming off as a positive. You know, maybe my daddy did hurt me. You wonder why we two did dance. So I'm getting a mixed emotion in this piece. But in the end of it, I am a soldier's daughter, true, and now I am a soldier, too. So, you know, whatever happened, they picked up and fought, and they're fighting the good fight now. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out what side of the fence I want to sit on here with this piece. But nicely done, Imarima. Definitely got my brain rolling. So nicely put together. Great rhyme, by the way, and nicely done.
Thank you. Come on down.
All right. Yeah, this is what I thought was a nice heartfelt response to the chosen prompt, and it really was a response. Because the song itself speaks in the voice of someone who's concerned for the woman that they love and, you know, wondering if that they've been abused, wondering if their mind has been twisted from that abuse. And I think she uses the voice of the girl and saying basically, no, I'm not being abused. But I think what does throw me off, too, is that maybe my daddy did hurt me. I think that this poem, this sonnet, this modern sonnet is split into two parts. The one part being what he thinks is going on and then her letting him know the truth. And I think the really good thing about this poem is those last lines. I told you to get lost and now feel better that I dance alone. I am a soldier's daughter, true, and now I am a soldier, too. First of all, I think that had really great rhyme. And second of all, it shows, it doesn't necessarily paint a full picture of both characters, it does show that character made a final decision to follow in the footsteps of her father and do so proudly. So great write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Naomi, you got to read it. How about you?
Oh, well, I didn't listen to the song, so, you know, I can just go with my own interpretation of the right. And, you know, I read this as,
you know, because, you know, my lot of people in my family have came back from the war, well, a long time ago. And, you know, I witnessed alcoholism, you know, from my uncles and PTSD, and I was really small, young, and it's still, I still see it in my mind today, you know, how behavior affected me when I was young and played with my, kind of my innocence there. And, you know, to fight that off and to be strong, I kind of became a soldier too. I read it that way, you know, that, you know, I became a soldier too because, you know, to be able to deal with that stuff and on a daily business, in a, on a daily basis, you become a soldier too, to deal with somebody who's coming back from the war that's living PTSD, that has alcoholism problems and, yeah, and, you know, so that's how I read it.
Nice job, Naomi.
Thank you, Naomi. Well, the bottom end already hits on that note. I am a soldier's daughter, true, and now I am a soldier, too. The idea of, as Jean said, walking in dad's footsteps, so to speak, kind of hits on the idea of maybe the son wasn't there, so she took that mantle up. But the idea, because he hits on that daddy's use has poisoned how sweet little me feels on my own. I told you to get lost and now feel better that I dance alone. So someone's trying to come between, well, the boyfriend, obviously, between her and dad. Obviously, they have a strong bond. And maybe it did hurt, but not in the way anybody thinks. The fact that he wasn't always there would be another thing, considering he got in here going from war to war. But now she's picked up that mantle, following in his footsteps, because she sees the, well, she's an Army brat for one thing, understands the life, can roll within the protocols and the routine, so that doesn't bother her in the least. So, hey, why not serve?
Mm-hmm.
I can continue a family tradition.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, the next song I'm going to put up is called Lemon Parade. And here we go.
Always to the end.
you.
Okie dokie. Good thing you said that because I was on mute just as steady as can be. Okay, Rex, I'm going to give you this next poem to read. It's called The Word Dance by Lockdown Larks. So whenever you're ready.
The Word Dance by Lockdown Larks. It was in the first glance when something in me stirred. Should I take a chance and deploy a word? It took many a day to find some daring, but finally in this wordplay, I hoped the heart would sing. The word used was dance, wondering would it be absurd, but soon it was romance, when finally it was heard. Words now swing and sway, dancing in such bliss, and all that they convey is transported in one kiss. The way was the word, starting a love's advance, and now a sweet songbird is kissing the word dance. End poem. All right, Naomi, let's start with you, please.
Oh, my gracious. I have to put somebody under the bus here. I was, yeah. To you too, Rex. I was doing something else. Sorry, I have to reread the poem.
Okay, no problem. All right, Pam, come on down.
All right. I'm the next contestant on the Price is Right. What was that?
It came from an unlikely source. Skidding down that old Canadian highway.
this is great. As always, a wonderful rhyming poem by Lockdown Larks. I like how he writes about dancing with words, about the musicality of words and the fun of them and how you can play with them. I really like that. To me, there's also this message of the words that create the music of love. I don't know. I think the word used was dance. Wondering would it be observed, but soon it was romance when finally it was heard. Words now swing and sway, dancing in such a bliss, and all that they convey is transported in one kiss. And I thought, you know, this is a wonderful write on how, you imagine a young man or a man just getting up the courage to ask this girl to dance. And when she finally says, when she says yes, one thing leads to another. And, you know, they find themselves together. Dancing and in love, and it just has a sweetness to it that I really appreciate. So very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, come on now.
Here I am. Here we go. On the Price is Right theme going on here tonight. I thought it was a nice poem by Lockdown Larks, a great rhyme and meter, and I thought it was well written. You know, I grabbed this here. The word used was dance, wondering would it be absurd, but soon it was romance when finally it was heard. Words now swing and sway, dancing in such bliss, and all that they convey is transported in one kiss. The way was the word, starting a love's advance, and now a sweet songbird is kissing the word dance. I thought it was an interesting take on the prompt. I thought the song was very sweet. If I knew you before life had hardened you, I'd have protected you from it all. And that's what I got from the song. And there's a certain sweetness to that. And as Pam said, she used the word sweet, and it's true. There's a sweetness to the song, and I think there's a very similar sweetness to the poem. So nice job, Lockdown Larks, and thanks for sharing.
Yes, thank you, Jean. Survey says, yes, Naomi was driving the bus. Come on in, Naomi.
Okay, the bus just pulled up. I find it wonderful that he took the word dance, because, you know, there's a, you can go
like he says, you know, can like Pam said, it can lead to so many things, you know. You dance with somebody for the first time, you glance into their eyes, the beat comes up, you know, the swing in the sway, and then it you know, and then it can even end in a kiss, you know, just you know, a dance can do all that. It can evolve like one word can evolve into many things. Like, you know, like if you take poetry, for example, and you start with one word, you keep going, one word in your head, and then you keep building around that word, you end up with something amazing sometimes, sometimes in the end, you know. So, yeah, I think, you know, the word dance, you know, taking a word could be a metaphor for just, you know, the power of writing and the power of building something powerful throughout words, starting with just one in your mind. So very well done. And yeah, it is tender and sweet, this poem. Bravo.
Nice. Thank you, Naomi, because you guys said it all. So the only thing I can offer up on the back end of this reads as something very, very personal. So cheers, Larks. All right, Jane, we're back on you.
Okie dokie. The next song that I'm going to play is called Casual Affair. And here goes. Well, that was abrupt. Just saying.
Yeah. It's shocking the monkey.
Yes. There you go. Oh, my. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Naomi, I'm going to have you read this next piece. It's called The Resilient Sculpture by Jody Melton. So whenever you're ready.
Okay, The Resilient Sculpture. From formless stone to figure grand in nature's vast unyielding land, a block of marble, raw and cold, held a tale not yet told. The sculpture, time, with hands unseen, chiseled at me, edges keen. Each strike, a lesson, a memory earned. In the heart of stone, wisdom burned. Trials like a hammer, hit hard, hit fast, reshaping my present, marking gravel of my past. With every hardship, with every pain, a part of the stone washed away in rain. Love, a chisel, gentle and kind, carved out the warmth, left the harshness behind. Friendships, like polish, smooth and bright, brought out the shine, casting rays in the darkest of nights. Loss, a deep and jagged line, cut through the stone, both harsh and fine, teaching strength in the face of pain. Every loss brought something gained. Joy, like water, in trickles came, smoothed the edges of grief and blame. In laughter and tears, in sun and rain, the stone evolved, grew from the strain. Failure, a crack that ran so deep, a reminder of the leaps so steep. Yet from those fissures, wisdom grew, a new perspective, fresh and true. As years went by, the stone took shape, a reflection of life with every scrape. No longer rough, but sculpted and grand, a testament of time's patient hand. Now I stand, a man complete, a sculpture of trials, bitter and sweet. Every mark a story to tell of how I rose, of how I fell. From a block of stone to a man now whole, carved by experiences, etched in my soul. This journey of life, so vivid, so vast, shaped me into who I am at last. End poem.
Great read, Naomi. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, what do you think?
You know, I love this poem. I really do. I can just block out the song completely and just appreciate this. I love how he compares the growth through life as a resilient sculpture. You know, each blow, trial, everything just chisels out the person that you really are in the end. And it never really stops. I mean, it goes on until I think the day we die. You know, everything that is thrown our way, you know, is another blow, or it's either a chisel, the hammer, the whatever tool to create who we become. And, you know, and that being said, I mean, each one of these stanzas I thought was really well done. But these last three are the ones that I went to because they kind of summed it up. As years went by, the stone took shape, a reflection of life with every scrape. No longer rough, but sculpted and grand, a testament to time's patient hand. Now I stand a man complete, a sculpture of trials, bitter and sweet. Every mark a story to tell of how I rose, of how I fell. From a block of stone to a man now whole, carved by experiences etched in my soul. This journey of life, so vivid, so vast, shaped me into who I am at last. I just think that this is just incredibly done, and great job, Jody, and thanks for sharing with us. A fabulous piece.
All right. Thank you, Jean. All right, Pam, what about you?
Yeah, this is definitely an amazing piece. Like, great rhyme and flow, wonderful story told. I really like how it, you know, the imagery and the metaphors, especially the metaphor of the shaping of the sculpture, shows how through the various experiences of life, through the ups and downs, that is what shapes us into the person that we are meant to be. And I really like that he covers all the different elements of life, like joy like water and trickles came, smooth the edges of grief, and failure, a crack that ran so deep, a reminder of the leap so steep. Yet from those fissures, wisdom grew, a new perspective, fresh and true. So both the joys and the failures of life serve to make us into the person we're meant to be sculpted into. And I really liked this all the way through. Now I stand a man complete, a sculpture of trials, bitter and sweet, every mark a story to tell of how I rose, of how I fell. Amazing lines and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, you know, what an amazing piece, you know, well written, you know, so brilliantly thought out, you know, the taking the sculpture as a metaphor for us being chiseled by what life throws our way and how we deal with it, really, you know, and how it shapes us, you know, and chisels us just like that sculpture, the elements, you know, or, you know, the sculptor itself, himself, you know, who built the sculpture. But, you know, like Phil was saying, you know, the elements still have an impact on sculptures, you know, so as life still has an impact as enough. So I think, you know, as Phil said, it's an ongoing process. We're always evolving. We're always changing. And, yeah, what a great piece, you know. And, you know, what a great finish. I have to applaud that finish, you know, that finishing stanza. From a block of stone to a man now whole, carved by experiences, etched in my soul, this journey of life so vivid, so vast, shaped me into who I am at last. Really brilliant finish there. So amazing, right, Jody? Way to go. Bravo.
That lady, yeah, you did go into that note of the sculptor itself, but I like the fact that even with everything that was skipped off in explanation as to what is and what isn't and how life works, this still holds the same weight of the original stone slab that he started with. So it's deep, it's personal, and it does walk up that note of finally understanding the bite in life, what it's all about. Well done, Jody.
Amen. Okay, and the next piece I'm going to put up is Pavlov's Dogs by Papa Terminus. And Pam, I'm going to ask you to read this one.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. I casted the stone, threw it at your window, heard the glass shatter. I heaved a rock to crush the viper's head, used bitter teardrops to make wine instead. Darling, you keep hanging this bell around my neck, makes me drool like I was a Pavlovian dog, starving, need to be fed, I'll play the fool. When the sour parade came marching into town, such a commotion, the sound of a gunshot rung out, the crowd shouted out loud, nothing but confusion as the band played on. Darling, you keep hanging this bell around my neck, making me drool like I was a Pavlovian dog, starving, need to be fed, I'll play the fool. With precaution, your precipitation leads to neglection, all the lessons taught in school are all just copies of the golden rule. We all follow because we were taught to. Darling, you keep hanging this bell around my neck, makes me drool like I were your Pavlovian dog, starving, need to be fed. I'll play the fool. I cast the stone at your window, heard the sound of glass shatter. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. And Naomi, let's start with you, please. Naomi, you there?
Uh-oh. Oh, yes, I'm here. I missed half of it again. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry tonight. I'm all over the place lighting candles. The light is flickering on and off. My cat's going into a mental depression because of the snow. can I throw somebody else under the bus again?
Okay. Jean, come on in.
My turn under the bus. Boy, oh boy. Okay, Naomi, we're writing this down. Pam, remember that, okay?
I'm making notes. Naomi, I'm making notes.
You're going to get a double whammy one night. I thought this was an excellent write by Papa Terminus. You know, I'm looking at it and I'm going, okay. How do I want to start this? He has this whole background thing going on. And then this is, he throws in the darling, you keep hanging this bell around my neck, makes me drool like I was a Pavlovian dog, starving, need to be fed. I'll play the fool. It's like it's conditional, it's something that we kind of set people up for and people set us up for. I think it kind of works across the board. You become accustomed to what goes on and how you react to it and how you respond to it. And I think that this is just showing that the ongoing kind of relationship almost, where it's like, okay, you've brought me to this point. Yeah, I'll play the fool. Sure, why not? Poems like this make me want to just address like the background lines. I shouldn't say backgrounds, but it's not that repeat. I casted this stone, threw it at your window, heard the glass shatter. I heaved a rock to crush the viper's head, used bitter teardrops to make wine instead. That's an interesting stanza there. Absolutely. When the sour parade came marching into town, such a commotion, the sound of a gunshot rung out. The crowd shouted out loud, nothing but confusion as the band played on. And, in there he still has this Pavlovian dog thing happening, repeating. And I think it's pretty interesting like that. But, he just has an ongoing, theme behind it. So I think in that respect, I think it's a well-written piece. There's a whole lot going on in the author's notes. I was starting to look at that until I got thrown under the bus. But it's okay. It's okay.
Hi, I'm okay now.
But, I'm not gonna keep pointing at that, the bus thing. But yeah, so anyway, I think that it was a nice piece by Papa Terminus, and well done. And clever. I mean, it's got something happening here that I wasn't expecting. So, nice job.
Thank you, Pam, you got to read it.
Yeah, this is brilliant with its imagery and its metaphors. I really like the use of Pavlovian dogs as a way of showing how society tries to control and shape us. So that ending couplet actually, and I wish I could pinpoint it, but it makes me think of a scene in a movie where someone broke the glass and saw the reality of everything that was going on. Or if it isn't already a scene in a movie, it should be. But that's what the end stands, a couplet made me think of, was the idea that of breaking that glass and seeing the reality. The repetition and the rhyme within this poem gave it a wonderful lyrical quality. I always do enjoy reading Papa Terminus's ANs, as it gives you a more in-depth look into what he was thinking as he was writing. I really like how that first stanza with the line, "I heaved a rock to crush the viper's head, used bitter teardrops to make wine instead," is an allusion to a Christ-like figure who crushes the head of evil, who turns the water into wine. And so there's this idea of a person becoming their own salvation in a world that tries to control them. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Naomi, you up for
I'm going back to the poem because I was curious. I tried to go see, you know, movies with glass breaking, you know, in them because to follow up what Pam was saying, but there's a lot of them. There's even The Wizard of Oz, so, you know. So there's a lot of movies there. I think, you know, to follow up what Pam's saying, which was a brilliant comment, that the way that our leaders just, you know, they control us. We follow like a lap dog to media most of the time. Well, a lot of people do, and they just gobble up everything that's being said, and we're like their lap dogs, and in that way they hang that bell around our neck, so that they can ring it every time they need us for a vote or something to come flying in and vote for them, you know. There's a mixture of ideas in my head that are getting mixed up. But, the way that we feed, they feed us, and the way that they use us to feed them back, I guess I'd say that like that. So, wonderful write by Papa Terminus, a wonderful write that's very thought-provoking. And, I think it's a commentary on society today and, how society, like Pam said, how society likes to control us.
Yep. It's about expectations and conditioning. Did you get that? Well, what was it? Dawn, you keep hanging this bell around my neck, makes me drool like I was a Pavlovian dog, starving, need to be fed, I'll play the fool. Now, the idea of hanging the bell around his neck now, not only is he the true essence of the Pavlovian dog, because it used to be that she'd ring the bell and you'd come running. Now, you're the tail wagging that dog because every movement you make keeps that bell ringing. So you're in a constant, a consistent a bit of notation to what she wants. So you're always going to be underfoot.
I like it.
Thank you, Papa. I like that.
Okie doke.
Where are we going next?
Well, that's going to bring us to A Casual Affair by Lawrence 67. So, Rex, I'm going to put that up for you to read.
Nigel, Alfie.
Oh, my God.
A Casual Affair by Lawrence 67. Book. Intro. Hello, everybody out there in poetry land. My name is Lawrence 67, and I am the writer of The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and his homie Alfie, two thug wannabes who are actually house cats that venture out of the house quite often. They pretend to be real cats until the realities of the streets hit them in the head. Now, these two cats, Nigel and Alfie, are homies. Hey, L67, what you doing? Oh, hey, Nigel. Well, as you must know, I'm writing a comic book based on your adventures. Oh, good. How is that going? Okay, I'm just explaining to the audience what you cats are all about. Oh, really? So, what are we all about? Well, Nigel, whatever I, the writer, decide. Hey, Alfie, come here. Check this out. L67 is rattling on about some crap on how we act. Can you believe that jerk? And as I was saying before being rudely interrupted, excuse me, what did you say? Your mama. Yeah, and your papa. Alfie, you're not helping. Your granny. Alfie, your nanny. That's enough, Alfie. Your wanna. I said that's enough. Yo, Pakistani, yo, nook and cranny. Yeah, these two cats are something else. You guys have never met any cats quite like these, and they fight with me here and there until I straighten them out. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. So please, hold on to your hats. Here comes the badass cat that have ever been drawn for your adult entertainment. The Adventures of Nigel the Fat Cat and his homie, Alfie. Adults, for language, the cats like to cuss. What can I say? And poems. All right, Dean.
You know, a funny piece. It was a whole different angle on Alfie and Nigel that I've seen so far. You know, where Lauren 67 steps in and has a piece in here explaining who the cats are, what's going on with them, and what have you. And I thought that was kind of a fun take on it. And, you know, the pieces are clever and they are humorous. And, you know, it's funny because you can almost picture him putting it into a comic book somehow. So it's a concept. And if that's what you're doing, Lawrence, more power to you. You know, I hope it pans out. It was funny and I liked it. And I love how you read off on it, Rex, because you're so quick to switch those characters and you keep it rolling. You know, it doesn't.
Can you imagine
like,
Alfie, Nigel, Little Tar, Cheetah.
Yeah, right, exactly.
All casting characters.
Exactly. I mean, you know, he's got it all laid out like that, and at the same time, I can picture him inserting himself in a form into the comic book. You know what I mean? And pulling off his part. So it's a clever concept and nicely done. So fun piece. Yes. Thanks, Lauren 67.
Kind of like letting out his inner Alfred Hitchcock. I got to be in there somewhere.
There you go.
All right, Naomi, how about you?
Yeah, I really like it. That was a great read. I have to repeat that. Like Phil said, yeah, you really get into character. That was awesome, Rex. And, I like this all through. And, you know, I see how, why he wrote this, you know, for that song. Because, you know, the L67, which I presume is, you know, the human, is trying to figure out these cats, you know, like kind of direct them or, you know, get how they're acting and think he knows their behavior and is able to maybe control it a bit, and the cats are just laughing at him, so they kind of like, no way, you don't know anything. So you know, I get why he wrote this for this after this particular song. So great writing, great dialogue all the way through, and you know, really funny. So bravo, Lauren 67.
All right, thank you, Naomi. Pam, come on.
Yeah, as always, I mean, your read just makes me smile, Rex. It is great. I think if Lawrence does make like a Nigel and Alfie book and all the other characters, he needs to hire you to do the audio book. I can't imagine anybody else doing the audio book. But I will have to say, this is funny all the way through. But the part where I really seriously laughed out loud while on mute was, yeah, and your papa, Alfie, you're not helping. Your granny, Alfie, your nanny. Oh, my gosh, it cracked me up. But fun right and very well done.
Absolutely. I tell you what, if you're thinking about doing this in cartoon form, have at it. I want to see some fun. I want to see what the cats look like as you draw them. See what little mess and mischief they can come in making fun of the magazine. That'll be a treat because they never shut up. Go, Nigel. Go, Alfie.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, the next song I'm going to put up is called If You Could Only See. So here
goes. If you could only see the way she loves me, then maybe you would understand why I feel this way without our love and what I must do. If you could only see how blue her eyes can be when she says, when she says she loves me. Well, you got your reasons and you've got your lies and you've got your manipulations. They cut me down to the line. Say you know, but you don't. Keep it up, but you won't. If you could only see the way she loves me, maybe you would understand why I feel this way without our love and what I'm.
Yeah.
nice. Okay. Well, I'm going to put up this next piece by Jessica C. Wheeler. And then I'm going to try and refrain from commenting on the next three poems. I'm going to try and leave it in writing so we can fit them all in. It's going to be a little rough. But anyway, this is called You Would Know by Jessica C. Wheeler. You always have the years we spent beneath the sun, exploring worlds uncharted, fresh and young. Through time, I'll not forget your shield and good intention, securing my protection when I'd run. I look to ease this burden, provide your walls a window, while stranded in this cell that I've built well. His pull met my resistance. I hushed my urge to jump. Despite my careful treading, I just fell. I wish that I could take the weighted woe you shoulder and wear it as my own so you could go. If you could only see beyond the plans I've tainted, if I could shift your viewpoint, you would know. But I am not equipped to seal the cracks you walk on and pave over the stones laid down by me. So come in coming years to give you what he gave me, then all I failed to show shall make you see. End poem.
Great reading. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, come on in.
Yeah, I thought this was absolutely wonderful. Great read, Jean. This is, as always, an amazing write by Jessica C. Wheeler. I always enjoy seeing where she'll take a prompt. Wonderful rhyme, brilliant imagery and metaphors throughout. Really heartfelt on knowing a love that was meant to be. Knowing that a love was not meant to be, and seeing that person find the love they were meant to have with someone else. I really like how she speaks in the past tense of, I look to ease this burden, provide your walls a window, while standing in the cell that I've built well. And I wish that I could take the weighted woe you shoulder and wear it as my own so you could go. If you could only see beyond the plans I've tainted, if I could shift your viewpoint, you would know. And so within those lines, I see the idea of somebody who has messed up, you know, in a relationship. Perhaps they weren't there for the other person. Perhaps they're was, you know, mistakes made, but either way, there's no turning back. There's you can apologize, but you cannot change how something was meant to, you know, in the direction that something went once you make those mistakes. So amazing write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. Naomi, how about you?
Oh, I so relate to this. Oh, this is so beautifully written, and, you know, I agree with everything Pam said. You know, I'm a runner. I have to admit I'm a runner. And, you know, when things get difficult sometimes, instead of, you know, working out issues, like Jessica says in the poem, I just fell. I hushed my urge to jump despite my careful treading. I just fell. You just flee. That's what you do. Instead of standing up and fighting and working out things, you jump ship. And I think this is a beautifully, beautifully stated. And I love, you know, the hope how she wishes him well in the last stanza, because, you know, I can relate to that part too, because I'm still friends with all my exes. And, and I see them going on to have nice relationships in their life, and I'm happy for them. So, yeah, so great, great poem all the way through, and beautifully well worded.
Nice. Thank you, Naomi. And, well, we got time for one more. What do we got? still in the bank there, Steve.
Well, the next poem I have is called It's All in the Way He Looks at Me by Naomi Sarah. So here we go. Whenever you're ready, Naomi.
Yes. It's up. Oh, yeah, I was feeling mushy for this one. I told Pam earlier. Okay. It's all in the way he looks at me. If you could but gaze upon his eyes as they light up when they meet mine, you might then comprehend my heart's surprise at how much love they hold in their shine. For in those depths of sparkling blue, I find a world of sweetest you, a place where all my dreams come true and every moment is renewed. His smile like sunshine on a rainy day brings warmth and chases worries away. And in his whispered sweet honey babe, my heart stops, stutters, sparks, and sways. In his love, I find my home each time, wherever he may roam. Him I'll find. Oh, if you could but gaze upon his eyes as they light up when they meet mine. End poem.
Great read there, Naomi. Thank you very much. All right, Jane. What do you think? You're mutating.
Yeah. Well, I know because I told you I wasn't going to comment and I was writing a comment. But,
well,
Naomi, I thought this was...
It's
all good. It's a sweet poem, Naomi. No. I didn't do that. I did a poem before last. I just said, I'm going to back out of this. But I thought it was a really sweet poem, Naomi. Soft and innocent in content. And I like the way you worded it out because, you know, sometimes it is just that way. You know, maybe not every time somebody looks at you do you have that soft and, like melting kind of feeling. But, you know, all it takes is someone to look at you at that time when you really need someone to just comfort you with just the look in their eyes, you know, and say, hey, I'm on your side or, you know, what have you. So I can kind of get this poem. Absolutely. And I think you did a fine job with it. So nice work. Nice work.
Thank you, Phil.
Pam, how about you?
This is a wonderful rhyming poem. And, you know, that is absolutely one of my favorite songs on the album. And I'm glad it inspired you, Naomi. And it's definitely one of those songs that inspires, that brings out the mushiness in a person. I like how on a deep love that shines through the eyes, the idea that you can see that love, see the person's soul. I really like his smile like sunshine on a rainy day brings me warmth and chases worries away. The other reason I like that is because it makes me think of the song My Girl, which I thought was really cool. And in his love, I find my home each time, wherever he may roam, him I'll find. You know, just beautiful lines on the idea of finding that kind of love that draws you in and helps you feel supported. So very well done.
It felt like Pam was singing along to the rest of the lyrics.
Pam had background music.
Oh, boy.
I got to go to that second stanza. For in those depths of sparkling blue, I find a world as sweet as you, a place where all my dreams come true, and every moment is renewed. That note of looking into the eyes and seeing one's soul, so to speak. A little bit of truth in that. So it was gazing deep and finding not just limpid pools, but something that shines back. Nice to be done, Amy.
Thank you, Rex.
Absolutely. Okay.
All right.
Well, Rex, that gives us two carryovers, man. Two. Just two.
Okay. That's cool.
We have Pam and Peter Salway for wherever you move them to. And, yeah. But great show tonight. Pam, great choice of music and wonderful poetry. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, quite the... quite a touch of flavoring, some dark, some humor, some sweet, some endearing, and some other rolling in the deep angle. So quite the bite that's brought tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was a great show. A lot of fun. And everybody, tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, join Louie Wild Dove in the Garden of Enlightenment, followed by After Midnight with Rex and Pam.
Enough. The new show.
Oh, in the new show. I'm sorry. Discovering Me in Poetry. Sorry, Naomi. Sorry. Oh, my gosh. I'll get it right someday. And what's your topic tomorrow, Naomi?
We're doing music.
Yeah,
we have all these lyrics that I pulled out of songs, and it's the magic of lyrics. So, but you know, with the idea of how the lyrics touch the person personally, so you know, like personally, like describing me through poetry, which is the name of the title of the show. Yes.
So that's our new debut for the new show, Discovering Me with Poetry. So it'll be great, and I look forward to that. And Rex, as I said, wonderful show. And, we'll do it again next week.
All righty.
Okay.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Vroom, vroom. Rolling up these snowy ways.
Go park that bus. Oh, my God.